Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are a few who find it." Now remember the picture. That is a jolting verse. Here it is. There are two gates. One is large, one is beautiful, one is easy, one is carefree. And it will be pleasant all the way to hell. But then there's a small gate. And the picture that Jesus is presenting is the gate is extremely narrow. And then after you enter, there's a long, difficult way that leads to eternal life. Now, that's not anything a false prophet is ever going to say. And so Jesus is saying, yeah, one looks great. It looks like the Vegas Strip. The other is going to be like trudging through the Nooksack River. This is jolting. And then he describes the difficulty of walking the path. He says, you know how hard it is? And he gives an explanation. In verses 15 through 20, he says, "Beware of false prophets. They're going to come to you. They're going to come in sheep's clothing. They're going to lure you away. And they are so crafty, you're going to see many in your lifetime led astray." And then he says, there's another reality. In verse 21, there are a lot of people who think that they've entered the narrow gate, but in all reality, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom. In fact, many will say to me in that day, says Jesus, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, and done many wonders?" So they did all these things in his kingdom, walking the broad path. But the issue is they did not do his will. Now that's what he says. "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So what is the issue? Well, there they say, and they don't do. So it's a false profession. This is Jesus's great sermon. And what we're finding, my friend, is that there's nothing seeker-sensitive here. And in fact, he closes with the most difficult words probably in the whole Bible. He concludes, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," and then in verse 26, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them," each is building a house, each is going to have a different outcome. So you hear in that, whereas in verse 21, the problem was this, they profess and do not do. Jesus closes by saying they hear and do not do. And so the compare and the contrast here is between two types of hearers in the kingdom. So we're looking at the church. Christ is characterizing those who come and listen to sermons, who like to come to church and hear sermons. And what is so striking here is that Jesus paints the picture. Both are building a house. There's nothing outwardly different about the house. These houses are side by side. If you looked at the house, it would be like two track homes. You know, in California, they have all these track homes everywhere where I come from. Well, maybe it's not like that as much here, but you get the whole picture. You see the picture he's painting for us. Two men went up to the house of the Lord to pray. We could use that one. Two kinds of religious people. Now, this is nothing new. The Bible has presented this picture for us from the beginning, all the way back from Genesis chapter 3 to Psalm 1, remember, of two kinds of men. And I just can't get over, in one sermon, Jesus has made so many distinctions, it's just difficult to keep up with them all. The sermon begins with those who are blessed and those who are not. Those who have two masters and those who do not. Two gates, two trees, two kinds of fruit, two kinds of professions, and he ends with two kinds of builders with two kinds of houses. He told a parable about the wheat and the chaff, 10 virgins, 5 of whom were foolish and 5 wise. You see what Jesus is doing. Since there are these two kinds of builders in his church, he's driving everyone to ask, what kind of builder is he? Because everyone is building on their lives with something. The analogy of building a house is Jesus' way of saying, everyone is living. Everyone in the Christian world is living, and they're building in one of two ways. Oh, this is such an assault, is it, on the dangerous tendency of our hearts, of my own heart. He's tearing down self-sufficiency, self-complacency, self-righteousness, and this becomes a whole grand moment on the Sermon on the Mount, the whole focus, because there's one fundamental difference that Jesus focuses upon here as he closes the sermon. In verse 24, the one builder built his house on the rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock, says Jesus. The other builder built his house on the sand, and when the storms came, it came crashing down, and hard was its fall. So to understand this whole section is to understand that the focal point is upon the foundation. Some people are building on a solid foundation, and some people are building their lives with no foundation. And it's only a matter of time before their lives crash and burn. My folks are building a home in Arizona, and where they're building, it sits in a sort of valley, and there's hills around, and the ground is made up of basically clay. So you have to be careful, because what happens with the clay is when it gets wet, any structure will easily shift. And so in Arizona, you have these monsoon seasons that will come, and they'll dump large amounts of water on the ground, and that quickly can produce flash flooding. Well, they're building there in Arizona, and recently they went to their city, and next to their house, there had been a big, beautiful home. Well, they went back to look, and one day that home was completely gone. And so my father inquired, and he found out that the woman who had built on this $500,000 home did not do a soil analysis. She ignored the regulations about the foundation, and once the weather changed, the whole thing shifted and was condemned. So my folks did a soil analysis, and taking all the precautions necessary, the foundation is over 10 feet down, the bottom 7 feet is straight cement, and then 3 feet of brick is put on top of that, and then more cement to ensure this thing will never shift. That's a pretty good analogy. Jesus says, there are many in the kingdom, many who are going to say, Lord, Lord, who hear the word, who say they believe, and are building with no foundation. My friends, what is the foundation? I mean, this is the most important question anyone could ever ask. The wise man, Jesus says, built his house on the rock, the Petra. It literally means a rock or a stone. So you get the idea that the house was built on a stone or a sort of bedrock, a big platform of rock, bedrock, just a solid foundation. In contrast, the foolish man built his house on the sand. He just started building right on the sand. Ammon is the word. So interestingly, you know, even to this day, Petra, you have a whole city in Palestine and Jordan area. It means Petra. And you have Ammon. And if you were to go around, Ammon is sand. But in Petra is a city that you have to enter through a rock, and it's Jordan's city in the rock. Everything, its buildings, its temples, its monasteries, its churches, its amphitheaters, all are carved into solid rock. It's fascinating that the Lord in his providence would leave that there for us. What is the rock? What is the rock? What is Jesus talking about? The Bible has always maintained that the rock is Christ. We're told this in 1 Corinthians 10. The Petra is Christ. That's what he says there directly in 1 Corinthians 10. That rock is Christ. And he's the chief cornerstone, 1 Corinthians 3. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. That is the issue today, why we call him Jesus. He's the rock. He alone is able to save. He's the only one. Salvation, my friends, cannot be found in anyone else. That's the exclusive single claim of Christianity. Jesus is the only way, the only truth and life. He is the foundation. He is the rock. And when we think of a house being hewn from this whole rock, we have a graphic presentation of being built on Christ and his word. So what Jesus is essentially saying is that there are many in the kingdom building their lives, building their houses, living their lives without him. That is a sad reality. Because the real danger here is that outwardly you can't see it, you know? Who sees the foundation? They've built their house on all their accomplishments. They've worked hard in life. They've followed the course. They've done everything the Christian should do, right? They followed the laws. They've been faithful church members. They've done outwardly everything right, just like the Pharisees. Picture perfect life, a life to a T, and they're proud of it. Their house is built with these things. They'll boast of it. You know, there's a beautiful windmill here in Linden, and someone said the other day that one of these windmills is empty on the inside. It's decored so beautifully on the outside, and yet it's just a shell. That's what Jesus is describing. No real sense that Jesus is the integral part of their life. Church is sort of a duty. Devotions are mechanical. You know, it's just empty. Jesus is saying, those who build on the rock have trusted in him. They've renounced themselves, and they're building by resting in him. Everything they do is built upon him, his person and work, as they seek to obey his will since they've been transformed. And there are those who have not. Now, what do you say to that? Will you give the call that Jesus gave? Come, dear friend. Come to Jesus. Rest in him. Believe in him. He will transform your life. He will give you a new heart so that everything you now do in life will be built upon him who is the solid and true foundation. Oh, my friends, is Christ the rock upon which your house is being built?
Studying God's word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's word together, that we might grow in his grace and his amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or, again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.